Welcome to Leaders and Managers Hub, the podcast. It's Gary here, and I'm delighted and excited to be joined by Helen Elizabeth Evans. She is going to be sharing what your hands reveal about you as a leader and manager. That's right, I did say your hands. Because Helen Elizabeth Evans is a business mentor and the UK's number one expert on hand and fingerprint analysis. She's appeared on ITV, Channel 4, Channel 5 and BBC Radio. She's featured in national newspapers such as the Daily Mail, Daily Mirror and the Times of India and a host of magazines. Helen uses hand and fingerprint analysis to help conscious business owners, often leaders in the making, to discover their innate brilliance and to do more of what they love in the way they love to do it. Are you ready to hear what your hands say about you? Let's do it. You're listening to Leaders and Managers Hub, the podcast. Joining me today is Helen Elizabeth Evans, a business mentor and the UK's leading expert on hand and fingerprint analysis. Hi, Helen. Welcome to the Hub.
Hello, Gary. Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Really looking forward to this. And we've got so much to get through that I'm just going to dive in, if that's okay with you.
Yes, absolutely.
Brilliant. Okay, well, first things first. I mean, when people hear this phrase hand and fingerprint analysis, I'm imagining they might be thinking of TV crime dramas and police stations with suspects having their dabs done by a copper. But I'm guessing what we're talking about here is something much more than that. So what is hand and fingerprint analysis?
Well, you can imagine when I first discovered it, I was thinking very similarly, like, what's this crazy nutty kind of thing you're doing? It certainly isn't mainstream yet, but I do think in the future it very well may be. Think about it, you know, look at your body. If your physical body is more of a sturdy body, shall we say, more kind of muscular, you tend to have more endurance, you tend to have more stamina, whereas somebody who's often very slim and might be faster at short distance running or, you know, whatever the case may be, our body often reflects certain abilities and tendencies that we have. In the same way, your hands also reflect so much about you, you know, the shape of them, the types of lines you have, and in particular, your fingerprints, which blow my mind every time I see people's fingerprints and I share with them what they mean. And because your fingerprints form 5 months before you even born, before things happen to you. Before, you know, somebody bullies you at school or your parents are mean to you or whatever, that, you know, the stories we tell ourselves about who we are and why we are the way we are, your fingerprints actually form 5 months before that and actually seem to represent how your brain is designed to operate. So your natural inclinations, the way you look at the world, your natural gifts, talents, but also where you are naturally blocked and where you struggle. To kind of see things clearly, why you just don't get it. Your fingerprints can reveal all of those sort of things. We almost say your fingerprints are a like type of like, what was the pre-programming before anything happened? And then the lines and the hand shapes and things like that are much more sort of like your natural personality or how you are using your natural personality or which areas of your natural personality you're putting a lot of energy into currently. And I think people can find that very powerful as a way of actually really sort of, it's almost like having a mirror that you're standing in front of and just seeing yourself and going, oh my God, that's true, that's who I am. And the powerful nature of that is that it really helps you to just drop all the shoulds, all that you're supposed to be like this, you know, and other comments people have made about you and said, oh, you are like this and you are like that, and that can leave you confused and unsure. And that is really what Hannah's fingerprint analysis is all about, is giving you a mirror, a clarity about who you are. So it, I guess it's the only, how would I like to describe this? Objective profiling tool that I've ever come across. I think all other profiling tools, to some extent, have some subjectivity to them because it depends how you're feeling when you're answering the question. This, it doesn't matter how you're feeling, the answers are always the same.
And you say, so this is all happening, you know, kind of 5 months before we're kind of actually out in the world.
The fingerprints, absolutely.
Yeah.
Your hands and the lines on your hands can change depending on what goes on in your life, where you put energy into your life, you know, that kind of stuff. But they obviously don't change significantly unless you get into an accident or you either damage your hand or you damage your brain in some way. Then you may have significant changes in your hands. But in general, they might get fatter or the lines might get, you know, thicker or deeper or whatever the case may be. But people who tend to have less lines on their hands tend to stay with less lines on their hands, whereas other people who have a lot of lines on their hands just tend to get more. It's, you know, it's about tendencies and it's about understanding what are your tendencies. And for me, I'm really passionate about people doing what comes naturally. I really believe we are all naturally gifted in certain ways. When we try to be somebody we're not, it always goes wrong. Whereas when we try to be who we are and try to use the positives of who we are, which our hands and our fingerprints can reflect back at us, then it's like the light bulb goes on and we become almost magnetic because we're being true to ourselves. You know, we're being honest about who we are and we're showing up as we truly are. And that is just like, it's like having this delicious meal that you haven't eaten for I don't know how long. When a person is truly in integrity with who they are and acting from a place of truth of who they are, it's really kind of, it's mind-blowing.
And so does that mean that our path and what is naturally, you know, our, you know, the thing that we, you know, really should be doing because that's what we're really good at, does that mean that we're kind of, you know, set up right from birth to this is really what you should be doing? And is it just that we miss the signals somewhere along the way, we don't get the email?
I think it's not that we are not getting the email. I think it's the people around us. You know, I have this huge thing about this concept of trying to take square pegs and put them into round holes, which I think starts very young, based on, you know, our society's beliefs, our family's beliefs, our parents' background, you know, and the experiences they've had. I think that school is a huge one. I mean, I look at what, you know, my kids have gone through and see and think to myself, gosh, what is this? Are we just trying to turn everybody into factory workers? You know, I don't think we're talking about leadership very much in this hub, and I don't think modern education, for instance, encourages leadership in any way. It encourages thinking like the mainstream, you know, answering and thinking the way you should think, the way you should do things. Who says those shoulds are correct? And I think that that's when things go wrong. And I don't think it's anybody's fault in particular, other than for those of us who are willing to behave like sheep and not stand up and be leaders and say, excuse me, this is not working. Our society and the way that we treat people and the way we bring people up needs to shift and needs to change.
Yes, and obviously in education, there's that focus on the, you know, English, maths and science. And then people say, well, you know, what about the arts? And people are not necessarily encouraged into those because people say, well, you know, how are you going to get a job with that?
I had that exact experience, Gary. I was really good at, I'm quite, you know, I've got two things going on for me. I'm very creative, but I'm also very logical and I guess strategic in my thinking. And so I was very good at math, science, biology, physics, you know, those kind of subjects, geography. I was really good in all of that those types of subjects, but I was also quite good at art and creative stuff. And yet I was told from a very young age, yeah, that's just a hobby. Don't go into that. You must focus, because they wanted all the kids who are naturally doing well in the sciences, they wanted to just push them through that. And so I was encouraged to study those subjects. Luckily, I had a teacher who saw my artistic aptitude, and she encouraged me to do as an extra subject art on the side for my final exams. And I never did anything with it, though, because I was told, you know, oh, there's no value in that. I since discovered one of the reasons we learn maths is to develop our neural pathway so we can learn to think in a logical way. But we also need to study creative pursuits in order to develop neural pathways which allow us to think more creatively and to be better problem solvers. And so we actually do need a balance of both. But society very much encourages logical thinking. And I think also it very much encourages, certainly with a lot of the corporate types, et cetera, I've worked with and the environments I've been in where there are a lot of people who are more corporate or influenced by the corporate culture, very much discourages any kind of emotion or feeling. Like, oh, the moment you respond in an emotional way, you know, that is, this is not a nursery here. This is not a kindergarten. You know, be sensible. And yet a huge and a significant part of us as human beings are our emotions and our feelings. And actually our heart, if we are comfortable with who we are and we can lead with our heart, often gives us much better and more effective results, both in terms of as being a leader and in terms of actually us being satisfied and meaningful. We don't have to, emotions don't have to be the equivalent of kindergarten. It's just how we use those emotions and how we process them and how we express them that shifts that. But we should not throw emotions out the window when we are in corporate or professional environments. They are such a key part of who we are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's so much, you know, not just in education and corporate world, but just generally, you know, allowing people to flex more and explore more, you know, other aspects of who they are and what they can do. I think it's too often people, you know, kind of, as you say, being put in pigeonholes and people trying to fit square pegs into round holes, which, as we know, doesn't really work very well. But let's talk about this hand and fingerprint analysis. I mean, I'm trying to get a sense of, you know, how does it actually work? I mean, could you just like take a look at someone's hands and go, aha, know what you're going to be like? Or is it a little bit?
Yes. Actually, oh. You just reminded me of a story, which is very relevant. I got into hand and fingerprint analysis in about 2010, but this was maybe about, I don't know, was it 2014, somewhere around about there. I was doing it as a business, but at the same time, I was, there was a part of me that was kind of thinking, yeah, you know, this is fun and this is entertaining, but is it really that powerful? And then I had, we were having our house done, and for a bit of entertainment, the guy who came and did my kitchen said, oh, look at my fingerprints. And I looked at his fingerprints and I looked at his son's fingerprints. And one of the key things that jumped out at me about his fingerprints, which I clearly didn't, I was very diplomatic about how I shared it with him, but was the fact that he had, one of his challenges was failure, frustration, and incompletion. And so, I said to him, one of the things you need to be doing is really focusing on how do you create success? How do you create results? And noticing how other people get results and having this ability to constantly pick yourself back up again when things don't work out and finding a new route, a new way to get the outcome that you're looking for. And in his son's hands, the really interesting thing was he had the opposite. He could naturally just get results, naturally successful. Doesn't matter what he did, whatever he turned his hand to, it just always worked out right. And I should have really paid attention to that. Like, you have no idea, because what did he do? He ran off and didn't finish our kitchen.
Gosh.
And you know, it's a story I've completely forgotten about until you actually asked me that. And I remember thinking to myself, by just looking at somebody, if you had that ability to just look at other people's hands, which I actually would like at some point, if we talk a little bit further down the line, to give some people some tips as to what to look for in other people's hands to kind of get a sense of how to communicate with them or what might motivate them. But if you can see that in somebody's hands, I should have taken that seriously and managed him appropriately in order to help him complete the kitchen as opposed to just letting him get on with it. And I think if you know that kind of stuff about, say you're a leader and you've got a team and you know what's in this team's fingerprints, and you know one person has failure, frustration, and incompletion in their fingerprints, you know you need to manage that person more carefully to ensure they get the result that you're looking for. Whereas if you have another team member who has success, natural success in their hands, you know that you can just give them the job and let them get on with it because they'll take care of it. So that kind of understanding about your team can make your team and your management of them so much more effective.
Absolutely. And you're going to reveal to us what hands and fingerprints can tell us about a leader or manager in a moment. But before we do that, I have to ask this, really about what got you interested into this really specific area of analysis. I mean, it sounds like it's a technical subject, scientific, analytical. So how did you end up doing this for a living?
Well, I told you that school-wide, you can hear from my accent that I don't sound English, even though I am. I grew up in Southern Africa, in Swaziland, and I went to school in South Africa during apartheid South Africa. And the education there was very traditional, pushed into the sciences. And then because I was reasonably bright, of course, then I was pushed into a degree. And it was, a business degree, and had computers, which in those days were early days, element to it. And I went and I did it, but I felt like there was, when you can do something, but there's no kind of fulfillment in it. There's no kind of like, I'm doing this because I can do it, but I'm not loving it. And I got to the end of my degree and I was like, I don't want to do this. I ended up waitressing for a year, and I have to tell you that I learned more in that year waitressing than I ever did in my 3 years plus at university. So, and in that time I had, way back in my past, when I was about six, I had a really unusual environment that I grew up in, which is why my parents often, or my mother in particular, tells me she thinks that's the reason why I think so differently. My nanny, the person who took care of me, was a guy who turned out to be a witch doctor. And what they call in Africa, they call a sangoma. It's like a good witch doctor, healer. Somebody who understands things beyond the norm and doesn't approach things in a logical way at all. Anyway, that was my background. And when I was about six, I remember getting this kind of like intuitive download that I was never meant to stay in Africa. I was only ever meant to grow up there. I've since discovered, I think I grew up in the bush in Africa because I needed the simplicity and the peace and the sense of security that kind of environment can give you, because I'm a deeply sensitive soul. And by remembering that background, I'm able to deal with my sensitivity much more in this crazy world. I currently live in London, in the craziness and the madness of it all. But this little message, this intuitive message, stayed with me, even though I was pushed much more down a logical route all the way through school, etc. And after university and everything, I just thought, you know what, this is time for me to leave. And because both my parents are British, my mother is Welsh, and has a, shall we say, as a child was very intuitive. And that was definitely knocked out of her quite early on, which is why she tried to knock out my intuitive side out of me quite young, because she didn't want me to get hurt in the way she had been through that process. Now, our parents often do things or seem to criticize us in certain ways, I discovered, because they're really just trying to help us not get hurt because of their experiences. But they forget that our experiences can be different. Anyway, I digress. I then ended up in the UK, and because of my degree and some contacts I had, I ended up working in the movie business, and which eventually I moved into the cinema business, because I'm actually really passionate about customer service and how we treat people. And I worked through that kind of business, and I ended up, I think, creating one of the first customer service departments in a cinema company in the UK. And I've, worked my way up the chain in the corporate world in that, and it was very, did a lot of training, et cetera, with people. It was a real learning environment. And then I tried to do what you're supposed to do, and looked at all my computer training and my business training and my experience in the cinemas, and went to work for a company which turned out to be seriously ethically challenged, which at the time I didn't know. And, how do you respond to that? I didn't have the maturity to respond very well to that, but I did discover I had ethics. But the downside was that I became quite ill, because I didn't give myself permission to move myself out of the situation or to behave powerfully. I was almost like I was a victim in this environment, but obviously intuitively very unhappy with the way things were going. I'm trying to say this as very simply as I can.
Yeah, that's great. It's fascinating.
And, you know, then I became ill and I was having these weird fits and all sorts of strange things going on. And that company actually fired me. And my greatest fear in life had always been to be fired, right? I was like, you know, the ultimate rejection.
Yes.
And I had never felt such joy and liberation that I was the complete opposite of what I expected. When, you know, when somebody would fire me, I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. But the downside was I knew I wasn't well and I couldn't go back into another corporate job. But I'm not the kind of person who really is comfortable sitting around doing nothing. And I ended up by accident starting doing it. I saw a woman doing, she was doing an inventories on properties at the time for people who rent properties, you know, and then they kind of check the property over when they move in. And then when they move out, they check it again and see what's damaged, et cetera. And I said to her, oh God, what a boring job. And she turned around to me and she said, well, actually it's very lucrative. And my, of course, you know, my ears just started singing. I went, oh, I can do that standing on my head. It, you know, because I couldn't go and work, but at the same time, it would be a way of me earning a little bit of money without having to know a huge amount of stuff. And I started doing that, thinking once I was well again, I would go back into corporate. Well, I discovered that I loved working for myself so much. I mean, you know, I really am passionate about business now. I mean, I just think of it like this vehicle that you can use to create freedom in your life and have whatever life you want to create. You can have a single one-man business or you can create a bigger one, whatever you want. But it's a wonderful vehicle to create freedom in your life. It's not for everybody, but for me, I absolutely love it. So having had that background, that corporate background, which is full of shoulds, you have to be like this. It was a lot of backstabbing. I was horrified by how mean people can be to each other in their corporate environment. You know, one story on the surface, another story behind the scenes. I mean, just really was quite shocking to me because I'm naturally a kind person. Then I started, you know, this property services business. And at the same time, I started to get better. I started to discover what was wrong with me. There's a whole nother story to that again. But and that was very much, again, it was in, the solution and my healing was very much more intuitive stuff again, that were just coincidences, which were just too many coincidences for them not to be being managed by some other force. You know, it was kind of me, again, being brought back to, hang on a second, there is this other side to life. It's not all just about logic and being sensible. And I tried really hard for most of my life until my late 40s to try to deny that side of myself, that deeply intuitive, spiritually led and connected side of myself. I then kind of also decided through accident as I got better to start importing French cherry wood furniture from France. And along with that came an opportunity also to import Tibetan handmade Highland rugs by somebody who had restarted the Tibetan rug making business in Tibet. You know, the Chinese came in and decimated the industry for a long time, and he was giving work to so many different people, and the rugs are just amazing. So I was importing those two and had a business going to shows and, you know, doing all this stuff at the same time, having this property services business on the side. But the property services business was making so much money. It was really great, you know. The other one, I was doing more for love and I was covering my costs, et cetera, but it wasn't a naturally good business long term. Anyway, eventually I had to choose and I handed the other business to my husband, the one that I was doing for love, and continued with the one that was making the money and grew it and had about six people working for me at one point, et cetera, et cetera. And then things again happened along the way. And I really believe that we have a pathway we are meant to follow. And when we want to stick on a certain road and don't want to make changes when it's time to make the changes, the universe comes along and does things to help you make the changes. Anyway, I was heavily in resistance. I had two kids during this time. I got married and during this time. and I got to 40, and a close friend of mine, who was actually my brother's sister-in-law, who was the same age as me and living in the UK as well. And she She had two kids. They were 7.5 and 10. And I found out she had cancer in the February, and she was dead by the end of March. And the shock to my system was so huge. And I just sat there and I thought, you know what? Enough excuses. Enough reasons to, you know, you've been avoiding this whole more intuitive side to yourself, et cetera, et cetera. And just going down the logical business-minded route for so long, almost 20 years in business or whatever it was at that time, it's time to explore this other side of yourself and just find out what it is. Of course, for a while, I chucked that out the window, but eventually I started to learn that you're meant to bring both sides of yourself together. But that is when I first started thinking, well, what's my purpose? What's my purpose on this planet? And I started searching on the internet, and I discovered a woman who was doing this fingerprint analysis thing. And what appealed to me about it was that it, my logical side, my side that needs proof, like needs tangibility, needs to say, yeah, it's not just all, you know, sucked out of your thumb side. I like the fact that the system, the fingerprint system, is teachable. It's repeatable. It doesn't have to, it's not based on your intuitive abilities. Now, obviously, if you have intuitive abilities, you can expand on an analysis that you give to people, but you don't actually need intuitive abilities to give people the basic information which comes from their fingerprints. And that I liked. I liked that it was logical, it was repeatable, it was tangible, it was part of my body. And the woman at the time, I didn't know, she was still learning to do it. So her analysis wasn't great at the time. And but I saw opportunities because nobody in the UK was doing it. I was able to do it online because I sent her my fingerprints. You know, she sent me a kit. I printed my fingerprints. I sent them to her. And we were able to have an online session. So I didn't have to see a person in person either. And it just, for me, just there's something clicked in my brain and I got all excited. I've always loved anything that involves pioneering, you know, starting things up, doing things for the first time. I love all that. And so that's how I actually got into doing the fingerprint analysis, is because it was so insightful for me, even though she didn't do a brilliant job. I was blown away by how clear and insightful she was. And for all the other little things that I had done to try to understand myself in the past, because I think a lot of us have, especially if you're deeply sensitive like I am, we are, you know, we experience a lot of emotional challenges. Aside from normal everyday challenges, it's our emotional reaction to them that can make it more challenging for us and can make us want to hide out and make us feel not good about who we are or whatever it is. And the fingerprints really honed in on the theme behind all of the challenges that I had experienced, and nobody had ever honed in on that before. And for me, that was just like, wow. And I didn't think to myself, I'm going to turn it into a business. I just thought, I need to learn more about this. I need to understand myself more. I need to kind of get deeper into this. And that's what made me go searching to learn more about it. And it was through the process of learning about it and just getting more and more hooked into it and saying, wow, 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 the more I learned about it, that I ended up beginning to offer it to people I knew here in the UK and just trying it out and seeing if they got the same results I did from it. And it was from their feedback that eventually I moved from this business that was exhausting and tiring. You know, the property services business, I was working 6 days a week, even though I had other people working for me. I didn't see much of my kids. I didn't have anything to do with them. And I wanted a completely different lifestyle. And this opportunity, and so much more fulfilling. And I started with just by doing the fingerprint analysis and not actually teaching people business behind it, because I kind of, you know, we have this tendency when we've had something that's painful, we have the tendency to just push it away from ourselves and just say, I don't want that anymore. And I can't tell you how many of my clients have kind of said that to me. No, I don't want to do that. I'm a lawyer, but no, I don't want to do law anymore, or whatever the case may be. And I kind of did a little bit like that with business. And then I started to find my clients saying to me, I just naturally was advising them around the business stuff. And they were going, why the heck don't you teach this stuff? This is like unbelievable. And I'm going, really? You don't know this? It's not basics? And they're going, no. You know, and that's how I ended up integrating both hand analysis and business mentoring to help people really sort of create fulfilling lives, lives that where business is the vehicle for the expression of what for them feels purposeful, and the expression of their gifts and talents, which makes them feel like they have something valuable and great to offer the world, and just makes them enjoy their lives so much more.
And obviously, you've, as I said in the introduction, you've been featured on national TV, radio, newspapers, magazines, etc., etc. I mean, how did you kind of first get picked up by the media and then sort of obviously sort of get to the point where you're, you know, number one in the country for this?
Well, I think maybe two people in the UK had learned how to do fingerprint analysis before I learned, but they had done nothing with it. Like, they were, you know, they weren't actually trying to show or expand who they worked with. Whereas for me, I'm just, when I'm excited and thrilled by something, I want everybody to know about it. And I think I started by, because I had the background of doing a lot of shows from the furniture business, the furniture and rug business, I understood the concept of doing shows. And I started by going to the mind, body, spirit shows and presenting fingerprint analysis there and doing talks and doing workshops there and that kind of stuff. And that, because there's a lot of people from the media, they're always looking for stories and it was something unique and it was something different. I got quite a bit of press through that. And once you, when they've kind of heard about you, then they kind of hear about you again. And initially it kind of led to a number of articles, and then I had a break and I didn't really kind of put myself out there very much, but I guess I must've still been on the circuit. And I decided, and I'd never been on TV. I remember one of the things I had been on TV for was they using fingerprints as part of a game show to help the test the contestants, et cetera, in some way. I can't remember what the details were, but that was entertaining. But I do think the way that you get coverage is that you can't be too snobby about how what you know is valued. Because, you know, what I do is very deep and very powerful. But in order to get on TV or to be in the newspapers, et cetera, people want superficial stuff. They want superficial entertainment. And you have to be willing to do that superficial entertainment in order for them to then feature you. Then people get curious enough to then want to know more. So especially, you know, it started with whenever there's something exciting going on with the royals, for instance, they will call me, the journalists will call me and send me pictures of the royals' hands, and then ask me questions and get me to comment on that. So it started with, you know, if something was going on with the royals, you know, when Meghan first came around and with Kate and Harry and looking at all the different hands and asking about their personalities based on their hands, etc. Now, obviously, I can't see their fingerprints. So it was very much using the hand information to make comments about them. But, you know, I think that you've got to see a person's fingerprints to really get the deeper understandings and truth about really what motivates them, what drives them, and what they run away from. But that actually is how I ended up in all of these situations, was thanks to the royals, really.
That's fantastic. And obviously we're looking at this today with our sort of Leaders and Managers Hub hat on. So I suppose I should really ask you, you know, what does leadership mean to you?
So this is it's such a widely discussed subject, and I often hear people talking about it, and they might talk about, you know, what it's like. You get stuck in a leadership position, say, in a corporate environment, and they talk very much about leadership within a corporate environment, and like how you're managing your team or whatever, you know, your planning or whatever it is, those kind of stuff you've talked about in many cases. But for me, leadership is actually the ability to influence other people. It's your ability to be powerful in this world and stand out. But it's fundamentally about influence. You want to influence people to be better, or influence people to get a job done, or influence people by inspiring them. There's a lot of different aspects. But I think the thing that we forget about, in order to create that so that we have followers, so that we have people who actually want to follow us and want to do what we need them to do, the first thing we have to do is get them to actually trust us enough that they will do what we want them to do. And that starts with how we show up as people. It's what we say and what we do every day. It's how we interact with people. You are being a leader even when you're not a leader, if that makes sense. The way that you show, it's how you choose to show up. It's how you choose to respond, especially to the rough stuff. You know, especially to the challenges. I had an experience recently where I was unhappy about something. I was in a group, there was a leader, I was unhappy with something in that group, and I expressed myself possibly not as well as I could have done. And her response was very childish. And this was not the response of a leader. A leader automatically actually is in integrity with themselves. They are the one holding the space for others. They need to be a parent in a way. Like, a parent doesn't start screaming at the child because the child is behaving badly. The parent goes, what's going on? What's the problem? How can I resolve it? So how we respond to that stuff that triggers us, that is true leadership. And that's us. When we can respond well, other people naturally look to us. People naturally respect us. Leaders are deserving of respect. So one of the things I think that is very important for us all to understand is, what do we want to be respected for? How do we want to show up? That's the leader.
Yeah, that's great stuff. And this brings us really on to the nitty-gritty of what we're going to be sort of sharing today, because I think from your experience, you know, one of the ways that hand and fingerprint analysis can be used is to reveal something about a person's leadership style or type. I mean, have I got that right?
Yes. I mean, clearly, I would need to see an individual's hands to be able to interpret their leadership style accurately. However, there are certain general or four general sort of personality types that we are all influenced by. Some of us have a combination of them, and some of us have, you know, just one of them. So maybe I should take the time to explore the four different types and just see, if you're a listener, what you recognize within yourself.
So that seems like a good natural position in which to take a break. Isn't Helen one of the most fascinating people you've ever heard in your life? I mean, just imagine how lucky you would be to be at a dinner party and be sat next to Helen, because I think she's only scratched the surface there for us on some of her experiences as a child growing up in Africa. And I think there's a huge story in there to tell. And isn't it also fascinating how the one thing which we in the Western world accept as being an undeniable identifier of our individuality, our fingerprint, is actually fully developed in utero. And when we come out into the world, we've already got that unique identity tag. It's never been truer to say that we are born entirely unique. I also need to say, I apologize if there are still some internet glitches in the edit. To be quite honest with you folks, I was just enthralled listening to Gary and Helen talking there, and I probably should have edited out a few more glitches, but what the hell, my eyes were closed, I was listening intently, and I was immersed in the conversation they were having. So please accept my apologies. Now, go and make yourself a cup of tea, because what we have for you next is part two, when Gary and Helen really get into the depths of Helen's understanding and view on leadership, and more about the specifics about the hand and fingerprint analysis. I guarantee you, you won't be disappointed. And please listen out at the end of part two for information on how you can get in touch with Helen. And we'll also make sure that we put Helen's contact details on the bio to accompany both of the casts. So go and get yourself that cup of tea, have a biscuit, you deserve it, sit back, relax, and enjoy part two. They never second guessed, they didn't set limits. Are you a follower or a visionary? Can you handle the load that you were meant to carry? Cause we're on a mission, listen, it's beyond description. We don't wanna fit in if we're living in a contradiction. We need a brand of passion that you can't imagine. Don't hesitate.